I want to bring a Father's Day message, but it's not going to be on us as fathers. Amen. We're quite used to that, and nothing wrong with that. And I like to start off by saying that it's awesome to be considered a father, as God is our Father who is in heaven. Amen. So I just want to mention a few things about the fatherhood of God. We receive our bodies and our fallen nature from our fathers, but our spirits we get from God.
Amen.
So again, we receive our bodies and our fallen nature from our earthly fathers, but we receive our spirits from God. Numbers 16:22. Who would this be? Moses. They fell on their faces when the people, they exalted themselves against God, and Moses and Aaron fell on their faces and said, "Oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh." He's the God of the spirits of all flesh. Remember, God blew into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, right? And he became a being. Numbers chapter 27, verse 16, we read, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation." Psalms 104:4 even says, "Who makes his angels spirits?" God makes spirits. Amen. He is spirit, but he makes spirit. No one else makes spirit. Fathers will give you, and they'll make your flesh and your bones. They'll bring all of that. They even pass on their sin nature. But the spirit comes from God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. Reads, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" He's the Father of spirits. From him come spirits, angel spirits, human spirits, but he's the only one. Amen. That
Amen.
spirits come from. And in that like to think of it this way: Father's Day is not just the third Sunday in June. Father's Day is every day.
Amen. Yes,
I like to say every day is Father's Day. Amen. I'm
Amen.
not us. Clear. I'm not talking about us. I thank you. Listen, Father, I bless you. Amen. And I'm glad God made you a father. And I pray you're being all the father that you can be. But I want to focus on our Father who is in heaven, because listen, the only way we can be the father that he wants us to be is by fathering our children the way he fathers us.
And
By being in subjection to the Father of spirits. So every day I wake up and I think about our Father who's in heaven, and I just get some kind of way, because I'm constantly blown away by who he is. I'm constantly undone by who he is. And so I want to concentrate today on the fatherhood of God. Because you see, God was not fully revealed to us as our Father who art in heaven until the Son of God revealed him in Matthew chapter 6, right? He's always been Father, but he wasn't revealed to people as Father until the Son came, right? So in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, from Genesis to Malachi, there's multiple mentions of God as our Father, but this had to do more with God being the source from which Israel sprang, instead of the nature which Israel would have. And so we read scriptures like Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 6, where it says, "Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you?" And so this is speaking of God in the Old Testament as father, right? But the sense in which it is used is that you came from him. In other words, he issued you forth. He's the reason that you exist. But it's not talking about that you have the nature that you came from him, and you have the nature that he has. It's not talking in that sense, because God made all people. All people come from God, but yet all people don't have the nature that the Father has. So
right.
It's in that sense used here, and in the Old Testament, when it talks about God as their Father, that's what it's talking about. We'll see it again in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God said to David, I will be his father, speaking of Solomon, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. In other words, I'm going to bring him forth, right? I'm going to be his father in that regard. But then God says, if he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what Solomon did. Solomon's fire, but then he turned away and worshiped every false god and ushered the kingdom of Judah, more specifically, into idol worship and damned the whole nation because of it, because all his sons did the same thing. Mm-hmm. So again, they did not understand God as Father the way the Son, when Christ came and revealed the Father to us. That makes me feel some kind of way, because I know, I mean, it would have been blessed to know God, you know, as people knew him in the Old Testament. But if you ask me, now I think there's a reason why you and I are born now, living now where we are. Okay. Scripture, 1 Chronicles 29:10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. In other words, the one who ushered us into being, who brought us forth. It is in that regard that David is talking about God as Israel's Father. Now, that's important, but if all you know about your father is that he is your father, there's a lot you don't know about your father. Hello. Let me say that again. If all you know about your father is that he is your father, in other words, you sitting in a park and your mother, and you sitting there with your mother, and she points at it and said, there's your father over there. And you look, and you never seen it before. And you say, oh, there's, and if that's all you know, you don't really know your father. Okay. So that's all Israel knew. All they knew was God brought us forth. Right?
Right.
They knew about their father, because the only one who could reveal the father to them, there was one, only one. And it was the father's son. Amen. He was the only one who can do it. Now, I don't remember ever talking to my father. I don't remember hearing my father say anything to me. Why? Because he died when I was 4 years old, right? I vaguely remember him saying something to my mother when I was playing on the floor in this house. I remember seeing him come in and he was talking to my mother, and that's all I remember. So what I've learned about my father, I had to learn from other people who knew him. Yeah. See, Israel didn't know God as the Father whom Jesus came to reveal, right? They knew him as we came forth from him. So now when we consider the Old Testament, those in the book of Genesis that did not know God as Father. Enoch didn't know God as Father. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and all that we read about them, and it's glorious. Don't get me wrong. I'm not diminishing that in any way. But they did not know God as our Father who art in heaven, whom the Son came when the people said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, say our.
Come on now.
Amen.
Said Lord Jesus, oh, it's so beautiful. So what we see then is that the revelation of God in the scriptures was progressive. It was progressive. Let me share it in short to you this way. In Exodus chapter 6, this is what God said to Moses. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, patriarchs, knew God Almighty. But when God came to the nation, he revealed himself as Lord. I'm boss. I'm king. Okay? Mm-hmm. Word. You notice that that's when the commandments came. But God didn't give the commandments to the patriarchs. So he didn't. He didn't say to Abraham, hey, Abraham, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not. He didn't give that. Jacob stole half his, he stole everything from Esau. Esau tried to kill him. So the revelation of God has always been progressive, right? And so when we come to the New Testament, my goodness. Well, let me read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. That's this. God speaking to Israel through the prophet Moses. Right? So back in that day, the writer of Hebrews is telling us that it's changing now. It's changing. God spoke that way to those people back then. Has in these last days spoken to us by his son. By his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And I just want for a second, let that sink in. See, when Joshua told the moon to stand still, told the sun stop, that would have been great. But I'm thankful for where I'm living today, because the sun is constantly revealing the Father to you today. The Father is revealing the Son. Oh God. Look, we're living in a time when the ultimate revelation, so much so that Peter tells us that the prophets of that time were trying to look into what are we into? What are we signing about? When is this going to come to pass? They wanted to know what they're prophesying about. They're prophesying about this time, about the Son, about the early church. They were prophesying when Christ would come and reveal the Father and all of that. And so they were longing to know. So I'm quite comfortable, amen, living where God has caused you and I to live today because of the revelation of the Father that would come to us through the Son.
Amen.
John said it this way, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. No one knows the Father but the Son. Huh? And no one knows the Son, the scripture says, but the Father. So when we consider this, we begin then to understand that it's not enough just to know who your Father is.
Right.
I know who my Father, who he is, but I didn't know him. He didn't live long enough for me to know him, right? So this is, by the way, when we understand this and when we look at this, I like what Moses preached about Luke 15 and the story of the prodigal son. We named it the story of the prodigal son. He came at it from a different direction, talking about the Father's love.
Right.
Because it changes everything when we see that the story of the prodigal son revealed the Father's great love for his wayward son.
Right.
Because when the son... The son said, don't, I'm no longer your son. Just treat me like a servant. All I want to be is I want to be a servant. But the Father sees
a
great way off.
Amen.
Great way. The Bible says, he told the people, says, he told them that parable because the Pharisees were looking around, all the sinners surrounding Jesus said, what are you doing hanging out with people? And Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son.
Right.
Those people... The prodigal son represented those people, those publicans and sinners and prostitutes, those people and me who were a great way off.
Right.
Great way off. Bible says when he was a great way off, the Father saw him and
right.
He kissed him. He loved him. Amen. So
amen.
This is why. What was that? But the father revealing his great love to his son. His son didn't even know his father loved him. Because he said, he wasn't presuming upon his father's love. He just said, let me just be a servant. I just want to be a servant. Don't give me anything. I just want to be a servant. His father's like, kill the fatted calf, put the ring on his finger, put the robe on, just make money. His father loved him far beyond his son ever thought he could be loved. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll come back to that. So it's not enough just to know who your father is, right? And what's interesting about this is that a child can't force a father to reveal himself to them. The initiative must come from the father. Okay? Hey, there we go. Now I'm talking about the father in heaven, but every earthly father, we ought to learn something from that right there. Oh, yes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let me just share what the Father does, okay? Because our Father who in heaven, how he has ministered to us. Look at this. Behold what manner of love.
Come on.
The Father. Hey, tell our
bullshit. Right.
Behold, get your mind around. Try and see. The quality, the depth of the love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God.
My God.
Now, yes. Make something very clear. If God did not have a son, then we couldn't become children. God's love for us is rooted and grounded in his love for his son.
Amen.
Getting ahead of myself. Let me go. Come back. Okay. This is what he said. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him.
Amen.
But we're not just called children of God. It doesn't end there. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be.
Well,
but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be.
Amen.
Now listen.
Amen. He's
changing us.
Right.
As every child he gets, he changes. He transforms them. He doesn't.
No.
Children of God, that love changes us so that we are like him. Why is that so important? Because Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed?
Mm-hmm.
We cannot be his children if we aren't like him.
Come on.
No. He must transform us. His love is transforming us. That's why we sing that song. The power of your love is changing me.
Changing me.
See, his love is changing us. And any Christian who isn't being changed by the love of God, hello,
right.
Questioned whether you are really his child. Because he transforms. He chastises every son he receives. Hebrews. Right? So, God is changing us. The Father loves us so much that he will transform us into the image of his son.
Mm-hmm.
That's Romans chapter 8, right?
Right.
Let me ask a question. What earthly father can change their child to make them live right and be right? Huh? What earthly father can do that? Hello, thank you. There's no answer. Because there is nothing. Could ever do that. And I'm sure every father has, you've seen negative qualities in your child. You wanted to change, but you couldn't.
Amen.
Saw things enough. I don't know how that boy go. I don't know why. Don't know why. So, and we know because they came from us.
Mm-hmm.
Been prayer from day one. They gave to our children. I said, oh, child from my nature. They got a still battle. Please. Please change. Please don't leave, because God, I know what the struggle is real. I know what it's like. Can't a dessert table without yeast. Yeah, so crying out to God, what earthly, no one can do that. So then when we read this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I like to read it this way. For God the Father.
Come on.
God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
Father gave the son.
Yes.
Jesus, listen, John, one of my favorite scriptures, Jesus says that, look, Jesus said, for the Father loves the Son, oh God. Now, you know, the reason why this is so beautiful is because eternally in the Godhead, there has been this perfect love. Jesus is declaring that right here. In this imperfect, this sin-laden world, Jesus is declaring the perfect love the Father has for him. He knows it. And he's confident in it. He's so confident in it that he can lay down his life. He can lay down his life. Why? Because he knows his Father won't leave him in the grave.
Come on.
Amen.
We that confident?
Right.
Trouble now. Wait a second. Son of God, not that confident. Oh, well, I'm getting there. I'm like, Jesus, take me to Father. Work your work. Work your work.
Yes.
Jesus says, for the Father loves the Son. The Father loves it. So there's been this perfect love in the Godhead, one for another, right? Mm-hmm. The Father's love for us is rooted in his eternal love for his Son. In his eternal love for his Son, Jesus Christ. Thus, we as children of God share in the love of the Godhead. Lord Jesus, one day it's going to be revealed to us what we are really being brought into. Because we are being brought into, we are sharing in the love of the perfect Godhead. He's bringing us into that, right? This is why God made us, so that we could know his great love. The love that they have for one another. We're going to be in that. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 17. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you.
Come on.
And these have known that you sent me. Okay, now watch what Jesus says. He says, the world doesn't know you. Even those that you sent me to, they don't know you, but they know that you sent me.
Right.
So Jesus is a go-between. You have the Father here that the world doesn't know, but Jesus knows the Father, and he knows those that are in the world. Mm-hmm. And he says, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it. Listen, for what purpose? That the love which with which you love me, God, that's an eternal love. The love that you love me, Father, that love is going to be in them. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what God is doing? This is so otherworldly. This is beyond this world. There's nothing in this world. There's no love. Nothing can compare to this. Absolutely nothing. Yet the love with which you loved me may be in them. This is the Father bringing all of this about. And right. Christ the Son is praying to the Father, says, Lord, Father, I want this to be that your love may be in them and I in them. Knowing Jesus is knowing the love of the Father.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You got the message.
Knowing Jesus is knowing the love of the Father.
Yes, sir.
Now we're talking about, it's Father's Day, but y'all fathers, earthly fathers, are going to have to give me a pass for a moment, because I'm going to talk about our Father who's in heaven. I'm talking him and loved by the Father.
Yes.
You will nurture your children. You know, the New Testament only he says briefly to fathers. You would think, you know, we have fathers. They would think, well, what does the New Testament say about fathers? Paul said to Ephesians and Colossians, said, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Next, please. And he moves on. It's like, is that it, Paul? Yeah. Well, he talks about the Father, our Heavenly Father, over and over and over and over and over. And over. We should take our lead from that.
Amen.
Hello. And as God fathers us, then we father our children. As God loves us, then we love others in that manner.
Glory to God.
And what's so powerful and what's so amazing about this is that we were not his children. That's why Pastor Bill got me stirred up in the beginning when he's talking about we were grafted in. We were a wild olive tree growing all wild. We weren't growing according to his purpose or plan. But God grafted us in. Ephesians put it this way. And you, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Church, we were dead. Do you remember being dead? I do. Oh, God. No, remember being dead in sin, trespasses and sins, waking up every day thinking this life is horrible. What type of life is this? This is, I can't, just bore out your mind. No purpose, no understanding. All of the injustice and in the world and not being able to make sense of it. Dead in trespasses and sins in which once you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh. Do you remember that? Oh, yeah. In the lust. Look. I go to the store, buy a box of donuts, eat the whole box of donuts. You understand? Yes. I would eat it. You know why? Because I missed it after the whole box. It took me 60 years to get to now. Where I have, like my grandmother used to say, you ain't got no God to your stomach. Where I can finally get to my stomach, eat a little piece of something and say, okay, I'm done. 60 years. We conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, there it is, we were by nature children of wrath, just as others. That's who we were. We were like Israel. Yeah. We were like Israel. We were not his people. God, in this is Romans chapter 9, is quoting a passage of scripture out of Hosea, where God was so fed up with Israel, he said to them, you're not my people anymore. God rejected them. He said, nope. Yeah. And therein, God, in Romans chapter 1 and 2, God concluded both Jews and Gentiles to be under sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that he might have mercy upon all. So in verse 25, he says, in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people. Talking about Israel. They were not his people. But then he would have mercy on them and call them his people. And her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said, you are not my people. They shall be called the sons of the living God. Then Hosea is prophesying about how God would take the new covenant and turn Israel around whom he had rejected. But you see up here in verse 24, he applies it to the Gentiles. Gentiles. Even us whom he called, not the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So he not only had mercy upon the Jews, but he had mercy upon the Gentiles. That's what Pastor Bill was saying when he grafted the olive tree, which was the Jewish nation of Israel. He grafted us into that olive tree. Yeah. So we who are not his people are now his people. Who did this? How did this come about? It came about because our Father who is in heaven predetermined it before the foundation of the world. God determined that he would save some before the foundation of the world and make them his very own people, his very own children. Galatians 4, verses 6, 7, we read, because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Do you know why we pray and call God Father? Because his spirit within us gives us, has brought us to the place of adoption whereby we cry to him as our Father. The Spirit within us identifies God as our Father. You know, some people talk about God, but they don't talk about God as their Father. God this, God that, but they never talk about God as their Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Romans 8, verse 15, we read, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us, the Spirit of adoption, causes us to cry to God as our Father. The Spirit himself bears witness that we are children of God. God is the one who has identified himself to us, has revealed himself to us through his Son, by his Spirit, as Father. And this is day by day by day by day. While the Lord tarries and is saving other people and is ruling world affairs and bringing things to a close as on his timetable as he would, not according to as we would, but according to his will, this is going on in the hearts of his people.
Amen.
This is going on in the hearts of his people. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father. So here we have the revelation. He's not only God, but he's Father. Blessed be the God and Father. This came after Jesus. You never hear people praying this way before Jesus. Why? Because it was Jesus who revealed, it was the Son who revealed who the Father was. Because no one knew who the Father was but the Son. And so Paul prays, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Notice it did not say tangible physical blessing.
Amen. Amen. It's on
spirit. They say that. I'm going to tell you why. Because when I was saved, faith teachers and preachers and all these prosperity, all I heard them say was, God has blessed us, whatever. Therefore, you can get, God can bless your bank account. He done bless you with a car. He done bless you with a house. He done bless you. And that was the furthest thing from the truth.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
We go to Matthew chapter 6. Read what Jesus said. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. He said, doesn't God clothe the grass? Does he feed the birds of the field? He said,
yes, he does.
What value are you than a bird? He said, look, your Father, look, the spiritual blessing of being in Christ Jesus overshadows, is the umbrella under which every other blessing flows. All of them are lesser blessings. The spiritual blessings of being in Christ Jesus. God's going to provide everything we need in Christ. That's why he said in Philippians 4, God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus or through Christ Jesus. But it's all under the umbrella of being in Christ.
In Christ. Amen.
We never had to worry about, oh God, are we going to have what we need? Good heavens, your Father owns the cattle upon a thousand hills. The silver is mine, the gold is mine. Everything belongs to him. He's going to provide. That's not the issue, right? The issue is growing the Father through the Son. Growing up in the head, which Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, growing up to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. He said, let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him work with his hands that which is good, that he might have to give to those who are in need. He said, don't lie to one another. He was talking about the nature and the character of God through his Son. Those are the things that matter. God's going to provide all that you need. He's going to provide all that you need. So along with that, I skipped verse 4 because I wanted to bring in verse 5. He said, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, having been predestined. The Father has predestined us to adoption as sons according to the good pleasure of his will, as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. You see, it was Jesus Christ who caused us in his ministry his act on our behalf from the Father that caused us to be adopted as sons. How as sons and daughters? Because he had a son, and where his son sits, we now sit. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's why the way the Father treated his son is the way the Father is going to treat you and I. The way the
right. That's the word.
The way the Father loves Jesus is the right. way.
It was.
You've never been loved like this. Oh. This is what we're being prepared for, church. Review of who he is and what he's done. Anything's possible. Okay, I'll lay it down. If that's the way it be, if that's the way it's gonna have to be, that's why he told John the Baptist. He said, "Hey, blessed is he who's not offended in me."
Right.
Hey, John, I'm the one. Hold fast to your testimony, John. And John paid with his life.
Right.
But he woke up the moment that blade took his head off. He woke up. His eyes opened right in glory with the Father and with the Son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought about that. I had an epiphany this morning. I was getting dressed. And I pulled something to put it in a drawer off the dresser. And when I pulled this garment off, there was a computer mouse or something underneath the garment. It fell down off the thing and hit my toe. No, it did not feel good. But you know what? It hurt for a split second. You hear me? It hurt for a split second. And then it was gone. And I was getting dressed, thinking about all the things, you know, we're going to have church and everything, thanking on the Father, blessing the Lord Jesus, you know, thank him for all things, right? And for a split second, it was gone. And I thought to myself, I bet you that's what it's like when you give your life for Jesus. They take your life a moment, split second. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. And then you back to life, eternal life in Christ.
Right.
Amen. 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 All right. So, when we wake up every morning, the greatest blessing we have is that we've been made children of God by adoption through Jesus.
Yes.
Huh? Let me say that again. When we wake up every morning, the greatest blessing we have is that we have been made children of God by adoption.
Amen.
Christ to the Father.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Twisted. You know, like, oh, I need that. No. God's going to. Did God ever fail?
Huh? Never.
Hello. Yeah. You needed this. It may not have come when you wanted it. Matter of fact, it may not have come at all, but a wholly different way. Let me share.
Amen. Amen.
I sat up here and. I was minding my business yesterday. Business had closed. And this girl called me, this realtor from D.C. Hadn't seen her, and I don't know, I haven't seen her maybe a couple of years. I cleaned copper for her over the 35 years I've been doing this. I've cleaned copper for her a number of times. So she called. I picked up the phone, and I scheduled the appointment. And I told her, I said, but now let me tell you something. This November, I'm letting my franchise expire. It'll be the last time I clean for you. This girl out of nowhere said, I've been thinking about for the last few months, it's been on my mind that I need to start a cleaning business. She said, would you be interested in selling your business to me?
Wow.
And I, now you know how you had a conversation with yourself and the Lord, right? I was like, yeah, I'd be interested. My goodness. Like, well, yeah. This girl was so excited. She says she's trying to put it together because apparently she don't know when the Holy Ghost. I believe she's a Christian because I told her I'm a pastor. She says, I knew there was something different about you. She says, every time we get there, something about you. I said, well, be that as it may. But she says, can't get over how this is. She said, what is going on? I was about to tell her. I didn't tell her yet. I'll probably tell her on Saturday because she's rich. We're getting together. We're going to have a meeting. I was about to tell her, this is what it's like when the Holy Ghost puts stuff together.
Amen.
I'm seeing this all my life. I know when the Holy Ghost is doing something.
Glory to God.
Just where? But when she said, let me call my husband. I need to get this down. She said, please. You come to my house. I'll come to yours. We can do Zoom, but let's meet. So I scheduled to meet. We're going to meet on Saturday, and we're going to try and iron some things out. Now, I've been praying. I just said, Lord, you know, when it comes time for me to move on, I just, you know, whatever. And so it looks like a door is opening up. And Lord knows if it's opening up, I'm walking right through it.
Walk through it. Amen.
But see, The father of your life. Things that you're worrying about in the future, Father's already there.
Right.
You know what he always said? I tell you what the Holy Spirit always said to me. Do you trust me?
Okay.
Yeah. Psalm 62, verse 8 said, Trust God at all times. Pour out your heart before him. Trust in the Lord at all times. So this is what Jesus said, Matthew 11:27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father.
The Father.
Mm-hmm. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And the one to whom the Son reveals him. You want to know how you and I got to know the Father? Got to know the Father? Because the Son revealed him. He chose us. Remember Jesus said to the disciples, you didn't choose me.
Right.
I chose you.
Yeah, he said.
Come on now. Nobody on this call chose Jesus. Jesus chose us. While we were walking in our sin, living life where we want to, God had his eye on us. And
yes, he
put his hand on us. He revealed himself to us through his Son.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Now, here's the beautiful part. That revelation never ceases. It never ceases. He's constantly revealing. The Son is revealing Father. The Father is revealing the Son. Every day, the Father is revealing the Son, and the Son of God is revealing the Father to us through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. He reveals them to whom he wills. And I'm so glad that he continually wills to reveal himself to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Revealing himself. All right. Now, let me close with this. I mentioned earlier about the prodigal son. I didn't even put it up there. Well, let me read it. You remember the son said, give me what falls to me. He goes into a foreign land, spends all of his money, living crazy, stupid. And he says he came to himself and he said, how can my father's servants have bread enough to eat and to spare? They got plenty. And they're perishing with hunger. He said, I'll rise, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned before heaven before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. In other words, he says, okay, I understand my sonship is gone. This is how bad this son was living.
Right.
He understood, I'm not even your son anymore. I can't even be considered your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Right. And he came to his father. So while he's coming, it says, but when he was still a great way off.
Right.
Look, there are people who are a great way off right now. God has his eye on them.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
He has his eye on them. This is why we say, oh, that person will never get saved. No. That's not how judgment to make.
Amen.
Make. God has his eye on them. And yes, he has Christ the Son is communicating this parable about this father and his son. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion.
Right.
And ran and see this. The son is walking. He's making little progress to the father. The father ran.
God. Seen.
The father ran. He got to the son way quicker than the son would have come to him. He ran. and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, how many fathers today would do that? Come on now. Your son take $100,000, go out and blow it, come home. Man, look here. We need to learn from our Father in heaven. Look, when we got saved, what were we worthy of? You know what we were worthy of.
Right.
Yeah. He came to us. He embraced us.
Yes, he did.
Come on. He showed his affection for us. He took off those dirty clothes. Yeah. It says here in verse 22, but the Father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. I'm saying, I'm not your son anymore. Just make me like a ragtag, the servants just wearing old beat up clothes or whatever. No. The Father said, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. This boy was naked. This boy was, he didn't even have enough to eat. You know he wasn't dressed well. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
The Father dresses him. What does Christ do with us? He dresses us with clothes of righteousness. He puts away our sin. Come on. He forgives us of all of our sin. That's what we were remembering today in communion. He washes all of our sin away, and he fits us with the best robe, with a ring on the finger. Hey, that's Ezekiel 16. It's a picture of Ezekiel 16. And sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. It was over. It was gone. Nothing left. He didn't know where his son was. He didn't know if he would ever see his son again. He said, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost.
Right.
Found. And they began to make merry.
Amen.
So the focus of the Father was not on what his son had done, but that his son, the object of his affection, was home. His son was home. Now, if there's anything us fathers could learn from our Heavenly Father is our children mess up. Children mess up. We forget we children, but our parents gone, so we don't have nobody here to rebuke us. But
right.
But when your son, when your daughter, when they mess up, you there's a way to minister correction, but not without affection.
Amen. Not
without affirming them that you still my son.
Right.
Right. Here, he said, you are my son. My robe. Here's my ring. Here are my sandals.
Right.
All his he took all his stuff in love. So he had to put on somebody else's stuff, right? He had to put on the Father's stuff. The Father provided this. So I believe that there's much for us earthly fathers to learn from our Heavenly Father. And my prayer is, oh Lord, help us to be like you in redeeming our loved ones when they fail.
Amen.
Because, I mean, I know you all listen to the news, and poor Tony Evans done left his church.
Right.
You know why? You know why? Because he's human. I'm not making excuses.
Right.
He's a sinner. Just like every pastor is a sinner. Just like every other child of God, we sin. We mess
up. Amen.
Stupid things. Insane things.
Mm-hmm.
We get tempted and we sin. But you know what? Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, if any of you find a brother who's overtaken in a fault, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness.
Mm-hmm.
That you also are tempted.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So God help us to have mercy.
Yes.
Of ones when people fall, when they look, what you did. You are my child.
Amen.
We're gonna get past that. We're gonna get past that. You are my child. We're gonna redeem you. You are in the family. We love you. And we're gonna see that person restored. Every day is Father's Day, because every day Christ is revealing the Father's love in us and to us.
Right.
God's grace, he'll reveal it through us.
Amen.
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 Any questions or comments on the teaching?
Yeah, I got a question, Pastor.
All right, here we go.
Romans 8:15-17, the Abba Father. What does the word Abba mean?
Abba, well, okay, for lack of, I'm going to tell you what. Abba is, if I'm right, is that number one in the concordance? People say it means daddy. So people say it means daddy God, you know, daddy father. It's a childlike affectionate term for their father. But Abba is simply the Greek for father, right? So father is basically what it means. But it's a term of endearment.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I was in Israel, that's what they called their father. Abba, they called their mother Ima. Abba and Ima. So okay. The Hebrews still use Abba for father today.
Amen. Amen.
In John chapter 17:23, Jesus is praying for the unity in the church, and he says this, which is amazing to me. I think that you would know that they, you know, that the world would know that you sent me and that I sent them, and that the world would know that you have loved them even as you love me. I still ain't got my arms around that.
You can't read that.
Jesus said it. But I still can't get my arms. I'm still trying to get my arms around
you. You are, brother. It ain't look. He tried.
And Jesus said it, though. You know, you can't say it's not true.
Right.
Jesus. That he has loved us as he's loved you?
Yes. Yes. But he said it, but Paul said it this way in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, I'm praying that you would know the love of God that passes knowledge. How do you know something that passes your ability to know? That's what John 17 is talking about. Look, y'all, we are in way over. When Paul said, I have not seen no ear, neither has any. Listen, heaven, God's presence, all that going to be like, it hasn't hit us yet. I'm saying you can't get through to this temporal mind and understanding. It's so far beyond what we could ever imagine. It is.
Amen.
Wow.
Thank you, Brother Carl, for sharing that.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else got something to share? Question, comment. So, and you know, do what you have to do. Enjoy yourself. Amen. And meaning you included.
Amen.
And enjoy yourself and be blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
See you next week.
Yes.
God bless.